Welcome to another episode of Angry Girl Music of the Indie Rock Persuasion. I'm your host, Amanda Starling, here to talk to you about all things intersectional feminism, DIY, and of course the music. I hope you're all staying safe and healthy. It's been quite a roller coaster of a month with so many ups, downs, turns that I can hardly begin to predict. But in spite of that, it feels like such a time of momentum and opportunity for marginalized voices and finding ways to really push change forward through nonprofits, petitions, providing access to more education, and so much more. It just feels like everyone's really listening and finding genuine ways to act more than ever before. This Friday, my day job declared Juneteenth a holiday for us to either educate or peacefully protest or share our perspectives, do what we can to support the Black community. And since I have that whole day, I'm actually going to be handing over the pod's Instagram to some creatives in the music community to let them use it how they want, whether it's to share their music or their ideas with you, or even use it as a space to share their experiences, whatever they feel comfortable with and whatever they want to do. Keep an eye out for artists like Expert Timing, Mint Green, The Tulips, Baby Got Back Talk, and others. This is open to Black creatives, artists, promoters, and those who'd like to use this platform to celebrate or share. And if you decide you want to tag in, please hit me up on social media. Probably Twitter's the best. Just DM me. And we're going to kick things off midday. So be sure to keep an eye on the Instagram all throughout the day on Friday. There's probably more details to come here in the next day or so. So keep checking at Angry Girl Music on Twitter if you want to stay tuned and stuff. I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a really awesome opportunity for everybody to just kind of take a moment to hear what others have to say or experience music that you haven't before. It'll be fun, I think. On to this week's guest. I'm joined by Alexia of Destroy Boys, whose next generation take on Riot Girl style punk is emotionally honest, rich, and risingly political. She and her best friend Vi have jammed as Destroy Boys since they were teens, and their growth as artists has just brought them continuously to larger stages and tours beyond the West Coast. Alexia joins this week to share her songwriting style, the impact of her friendships, what's coming for Destroy Boys, writing more politically, and so much more. So with that, let's hear more Destroy Boys and then get into the interview. Fences hold me back from mine, baby. Hold my hands and hold them tight. I like my pit. I want to stay. That way I can't fall back in again. welcome, Alexia, to Angry Girl Music of the Indie Rock Persuasion. How are things going in Sacramento?
Hello, hello, Amanda. Things are pretty good. I'm actually in San Francisco.
Oh, you are?
That's where I live now.
Oh, awesome.
And the rest of the band is like in the Bay Area as well. We haven't, like, I lived in Sac maybe like last year.
Okay.
But I moved in January.
Oh, wow. So you got that in right before everything started getting kind of wacky, huh?
Mm-hmm. I actually like moved into the place that I'm in now, in the middle of April when this was all happening.
Wow.
So it was pretty crazy.
I believe it. Well, hopefully you're at least a little bit more settled in now.
Oh, yeah. I totally am. My roommates are awesome. Like, the place that I live at, I have a garden. I can't really complain.
That's nice. What kind of stuff are you kind of doing to, like, get yourself comfy and being in this space?
I've done a lot of decorating, like, in my room. That's probably most of it. And then, like, hanging out with the other, like, the housemates, too. We chat. We had little get-togethers for, like two of them graduated and one of them had a birthday. It was very fun.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you just need those little parts of it to just kind of get comfortable, especially whenever we have, you know, unfortunately a pandemic going on.
Yeah. Really just like wild that this is happening right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of astounded because of how it's impacted like the industry and stuff, because I saw that, like, you know, you had some really awesome tours lined up for this year.
Yeah, it's like super disappointing. I feel like grief when I think about it. So we were going to tour with Wunderbar, who I ended, like, I didn't listen to them that much before we got the tour. I did know like a couple songs, but then I really started to get into them. Mm-hmm. We were going to tour with Against Me, which was just like a lifelong dream of Vi's, and also like to be on tour with like a trans person, like, wow. You know, with it would have been so like fun and different. Mm-hmm. And then like this big summer tour with like All Time Low and stuff also. It's pretty.
Well, hopefully whenever things get closer to normal and these things start to come back, you know, those opportunities I have no doubt will resurface.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like most artists are trying to do the same tours that they had planned.
Awesome. Well, hopefully we'll get to see that one in maybe 2021 or something, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. Because you'll have a very busy year coming back, it seems.
I know. I don't even know what we're going to do. it's like been interesting because it's like on the one hand, like we lost so much, like not only just revenue, but like just exposure and like shows and just like being able to connect with people, mm-hmm. Just lost so much of that because on tour, like we get to, you know, meet fans and like, I don't know. It's just so fun to like be at shows and like, do everything that you do at shows. But we're kind of engaging with people in a different way. Like, I feel like we're doing a lot more, sort of interviews, like this thing that we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And like also engaging with people online, mm-hmm. Since that is like kind of the only thing that we can do. I find that we're still like maintaining a connection like to our fans, which is, really nice. At least like we get to still do that, and like I love seeing people post covers and stuff like that. It's like really cute.
That's good. At least it's nice that whenever you have those kind of more positive things coming in, like the covers, and I saw that you've done some of like the Instagram live stuff too, so that's good.
Yeah, I know. Well, like I used to do, is it okay if I cuss?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, tight. Yeah, I hadn't been doing as many, but then I was like, I probably should, like, since, you know, because I used to just go online, like, every week, like, very late at night, and, like, sing randomly, but I haven't, but now I'm getting back into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. How have you been impacted by this?
I'm one of the lucky ones. I've been able to have my day job work from home for ever since like March. And it's been more so just getting used to being home more, which doesn't bother me that much because like you wouldn't believe it with me having a podcast, but I am rather introverted. So I kind of enjoy like the
that
whole
makes thing. Total sense, actually.
Yeah, it's like yeah. I can talk to some people, and I don't know. I like being kind of in my home office doing my thing. And so for me, it's like, all right, this isn't so bad. And I live in an area of Florida that is not completely slammed, thank goodness.
Yeah. I was just going to ask where you were.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in like St. Pete, Florida. So like just outside of like the Tampa area and stuff. I'm not far from Orlando. So like we're not near like Miami or anything. And that's been the area that's hit really hard. But yeah, it's all good. If anything, well, as good as it can be, I should say. I feel like I've been saying that a lot to people lately. It's like, I'm as good as can be.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been saying like, I'm living life, like kind of.
Kind of. I love that. It's accurate, isn't it? Cause we're kind of all in this weird, like standstill. And I know, I think I've accepted it. So I'm like relatively comfortable, but like, I know it took some time for me to kind of settle into like the new normal, you know?
Definitely. Yeah. I've actually like been working during the pandemic. I work at a grocery store.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I got hired like right, like a week or like two weeks before the sort of pandemic like was started like going down.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I've kind of just been like in the craziness, like, from the beginning.
Wow.
Luckily like my store has been really good about like, you know, provided us masks like right away and like put up plexiglass and you know all this stuff, doing a lot of measures to make sure that people are like social distancing as much as they can in the store. But it has been a trip.
Oh, I'm sure. And that's like, I feel like working in grocery or any kind of food is already hard work and stuff. But then when you have all this shit on top of that, it's like,
yeah.
I feel like it can be kind of grueling. So I hope you're taking time to take care of yourself too in all this.
Yeah, I am trying my best. yeah, it's very hit or miss. Cause like some people are super nice. But then some people are like just assholes about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like won't stand far away or like won't bag their groceries like even though they can.
Jeez.
I like when people are like, oh my god, like thank you so much for working, and then like watch me bag their groceries when they have like a whole cart. I'm like, just I'm in disbelief, like if you wanted to be helpful, like you would bag.
That's so crazy. Yeah, especially because they were the ones touching everything.
It's little things. Sitcom about a grocery store, I think I'm gonna say. I would watch that. Wait, what can you say that again?
Oh gosh, sorry, I was trying to catch up with what you were saying since it looked like the internet got weird, so I forgot.
That's you know, technical difficulties, we love them. No.
Right, oh my gosh, yeah, you'd think in 2020, but well, hopefully we can take your mind off of some of the work and craziness that's been going on for you. Let's talk about your music some.
Yes.
So
I love that.
Tell me, when did you first begin to play music, and maybe who were you listening to that helped motivate you?
I've been singing since I was little, but I was always very like shy about it. And like did not perform in front of like, okay, well that's not true. I was always like super shy about it. And so I would like sing to myself, and sing like to the radio, and my parents would encourage me, but I would be like, stop, you know? I didn't really do anything public until I was in like sixth grade was like the first time that I did something, but I did like go to Greek school and sing like for the church, which was funny. Yeah, I don't know. I've been interested. My brother is a huge like theater person, and so he influenced me in that way that like I also really like theater, but he was like the actor and I like to do more tech stuff. He also does tech stuff, but he was like more stage oriented way more than I was. But yeah, so I didn't really actually get in front of a crowd and do my own music until I met Vi when I was like 15. And then we started the band, and Destroy Boys is like my first band.
Wow.
First shows, first everything. I did like a medley of different plays when I was like in sixth grade, but that's about it from before that. And people who influenced me, Lady Gaga. I loved singing Lady Gaga. I still do, which is like a very silly one, but I love her.
We all have our one.
Like, I loved her. I remember singing a lot of Rihanna songs for some reason, just being super into her. And Queen, I listened to a lot of Queen. And Vampire Weekend, as I started to be like a high schooler, I listened to a lot of Vampire Weekend, just like loved them. So, yeah. And I feel like they have all, like, Lady Gaga has like a very powerful voice. Ezra Koenig from, and like Vampire Weekend, like they have like very, them and Queen both have like a lot of inflections and stuff like that in their music. Like, it's super like, it's like very theatrical. I've kind of been into like theatrical bands for a long time, which probably influences in some way.
Now that you mention it, there are little bits I think in your music, particularly it seems like with like the inflection that you mentioned and like, you know, the strong vocals and stuff, the way that Gaga does and everything. It's like, I feel like sometimes whenever you think about who influences you in that way, it's like, oh yeah, I guess that tiny bit unconsciously or maybe consciously slipped in.
Yeah. And I think also like all those people are like super different from each other, have completely different like voices and like styles of music and all that. And I think that's something that I sort of took like as I was starting to sing, is that it doesn't help me to try and sound like somebody else. Like, I've always, for a long time, I've just tried to sing like whatever I do, you know, because I can't mimic, like, this is why there's so many bands like that sound like Blink 182, like, who, you know, people who have like the Tom DeLonge voice. And when it's like, you would probably sound like so much better if you used your own. It's just easier to sing like that. I don't know. I really try to embrace my own skills and be like, recognize like, oh, I can't do this thing that Lady Gaga does, but I can do this thing that she doesn't do, which I think is super cool. And just really trying to like be happy about what my voice is naturally.
Yeah. And you kind of let little bits of it kind of like shape your voice, but ultimately it's yours and you're kind of just expanding what you can do.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas I feel like if I were, I always wanted to sound like Lady Gaga. Like, that was something that I thought about so much. But at a certain point, I was like, she's like in her 20s or however old she was. And it's like, I'm me as a 12-year-old, and I'm not going to sound like that. And so I really had to, like, get over that. And then I think that's where, like, the discovery came from, where it's like, it's not going to sound very good if I try and sound like other people, if I like hold myself to a standard that I just can't fulfill, you know.
How'd you kind of like build your confidence in your own voice then? I'm curious on that.
Yeah, so I did not show anybody my music, maybe like a couple people up until I met Vi. I did not show it to anyone, but what I did do is I recorded myself a lot, like starting from when I was probably 12. And I had been singing a lot already just by myself. thank you. My roommate brought me some tea.
Aw.
I building confidence. Yeah. I like listened to voice recordings of myself because, I would like sing and I would think to myself, like, I think this sounds good. Do I sound good? I think I sound good. I would just sing out loud and think I think this is good. And then I started recording it so that I could tell, actually, so that I could have like physical proof of like, this is me. And like, it sounds pretty good. And like, I was able to improve my voice a lot by that. Like, I know that so many people, like when they're singing, they do not want to listen to their own voice. Mm-hmm. They like don't want to listen to recordings. I feel like that's something that holds a lot of people back. But if I hadn't done that, I never would have gotten as confident as I did, because I could listen to it and physically be like, oh my God, like this is me, like wow, you know. And just being like, I can't believe I still, that still happens. I'm like, well, I can't believe I did that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Also Vi, like, you know, my parents were always really encouraging of my singing. Mm-hmm. Even though I was like, stop. And then Vi also like so helped me with my confidence. Like Vi and I had decided to start a band. I was going to play drums. I don't know how to play drums. I still don't. and then I showed Vi a song and that I sung, and she was like, dude, what? Like, this is you. Like, you're going to be our singer. Like, what do you think? You're not going to be our drummer. And it kind of, I sort of felt like I did have a choice, but I also had always wanted someone to like validate me like that. Mm. So it was nice to have Vi like just be my, like my support in that. And just to see someone be so like confident in my ability and like in a way that I wasn't totally confident with it yet, really helped me to kind of get over the stage fright and just the general like, oh God, people are gonna hear me feelings. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing too, because I think about it, it's like you started this band when you were in high school, and yeah, you know, that's a period, such a very formative time. Mm-hmm. So to have like a friend in your life that is like boosting you in that way, and you're kind of pushing each other to be creative and do this thing, is probably very influential on you like growing and becoming who you are now in that sense. Cause it's like, wow, I had a friend that like supported what I wanted to do and just like pushed me.
Yeah. It was super helpful. Just to my confidence and like development. I think that I became a way more, confident and sort of like, I stand my ground more, I think, because of being in the band. And it's like, if you have to sing in front of people, that like takes a level of like, I don't give a fuck, you know.
Yeah.
You have to have that. You have to have that, or you have to pretend that you have that, which is what I did for a long time. But yeah, it was definitely very helpful for me just to have, like, just to, like, I knew that I could sing, you know, but I just wasn't, but I just didn't want to like take up space like that, actually. I felt really uncomfortable taking up space like physically on stage for so long, for probably like a year and a half of the band when we first started. Mm-hmm. It was like super uncomfortable for me to like call attention to myself like that. But now I really want it. Now I miss it.
You know? I think it's one of those things that a lot of performers kind of grow to love if they didn't love it to start with.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's interesting that you mentioned like the whole not feeling comfortable at first, like taking up space and stuff. If you don't mind me asking, and if it isn't too personal, like what kind of made you feel that way?
I think it's probably a lot of things. I think just like being a girl, being like raised as a girl, I didn't want to, you know, women are taught to make themselves small. And so I think that to a certain extent, that was probably a lot of what was holding me back. Mm-hmm. And just not wanting to take pride in like my skills, mm-hmm. you know, which is so frustrating, you know, sort of. And it was probably just me thinking like, I'm not good enough, mm-hmm. you know, even though I was, even though people who aren't good, like are successful, you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. You know, I mean, there's so many guys out there who just do it without any hesitation because they don't need to feel validated mm-hmm. in taking up a space or claiming a space. To them, it's just there and it's theirs. And I think that's mm-hmm. one of the things that like a lot of just like, you know, non-men and people of color and like LGBT folks face is like, you know, you feel like you have to like build up the confidence and then take a space. rather yeah. than just like, unfortunately, this like major power or whatever, I hate even referring to them as that, you know, they can just take it by default and not even yeah. think about it. And that's just bullshit.
Yeah, definitely. Or like, I feel like I felt like I had to be really good when I started.
Oh yeah.
When most of the time you're bad at whatever it is, whatever this new thing you're doing, you are going to be bad at it because mm-hmm. that's, you know, like how it is. And so, but it's like, the fact is that you have to practice being on stage in order to get good at being on stage. So you kind of have to be bad to begin with. Mm-hmm. and so that was really hard for me for a long time, but I knew that I liked it and I knew that I had something like that I wanted to keep doing, you know. I loved like playing music on stage. I love like going crazy and just expressing myself in a way that you can't mimic in any other way, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's so cool that you were able to just like focus in on how much you loved music and loved performing and stuff, to where it's like, you know what, I'm gonna push past these like feelings that surface every now and then and just fucking mm-hmm. do it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that if I hadn't had Vi, like, I might not have, like, been as, I wouldn't have persevered as much, mm-hmm. but having, you know, someone to just rely on, and, like, kind of, like, we were just in it together, you know, and Vi was more experienced than I was, I had been in bands before, so it was nice to have someone kind of back me up in that way. You get nervous like doing podcasts? Like, was that nervous for you?
Oh, like, was it? big time. I get nervous way more than I think I'll ever even begin to comprehend. And it really, I think sometimes what'll happen is I'll get, very rarely does this happen, but I hate when it does because I feel like such a dweeb, but like I get starstruck sometimes and I have to kind of like get myself to simmer down a little and like just because it's like occasionally I will get somebody on the podcast where I'm just like, oh my god, I've been a fan of this artist for like almost 10 years, they are Whoa. Like a part of like my whole identity as a fan of music, blah blah blah, and then I get in front of them and then I just start stumbling over words and like it happens. And then like probably the time I got the most nervous was actually doing the one live show I've done so far. That was a lot, and I was just lucky that I had friends who were my guests and they were yeah. all performers, so if anything it's like they could all give me advice on like how to kind of entertain people and also yeah. like, you know, make myself feel confident in a space where there are like at least 50 sets of eyes on me. And I'm just like, I have not, at that time I had not been in front of a group of people performing in any capacity since like a single line in an eighth grade play. And then, yeah. like it had been like at least like 10, 12 years at that point. And I'm like, wow. Shit, I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But I did it. And, you know, yeah, nervousness is totally a thing with podcasting. And, yeah. But I've always been able to combat that with the thought of like, you know what, this person is, going to probably hang up and go binge something on Netflix right after this too. And yeah. like, you know, we're going to both eat like probably junk food later and just be like normal people. And like yeah. when you kind of get in that mindset of like, yeah, that's just a regular person. They just do cool stuff. And, you know, I have to remind myself, I sometimes do cool stuff too. So it's all good. And yeah. you have to talk yourself down from that nervousness, I think, in a way that's very similar to what I'm sure a lot of performers do whenever you have like a stage and like that kind of setting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whew. I just got a little nervous, like thinking about performing. Actually, like I felt like, oh, like my chest tightening, just like, ah! What? Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, sometimes when you just think about it, that's enough to kind of like get that little yeah. temporary tensing going. I literally had a mild same, but I'm just like, calm down, it's chill. It's
yeah, chill. Yeah, it's like that's literally like. Not- right now it's okay.
Plus there's editing, thank god.
Yeah.
We love a good edited audio every now yeah. and then.
You know what, if I could I probably would. Gosh.
Oh my gosh. So kind of speaking of sound here and everything, you started Destroy Boys with Vi and everything, which is really awesome. Tell me about how you kind of started to put together your sound as a band together.
It started out really, it has been like this. I feel like we've just been like a very like honest band, I guess, in terms of our music. Like everything that we write about comes from our heart, for lack of a better word, you know. Like I've never been one to write songs about things that haven't happened to me, or things that I don't want to, or things that I like that haven't happened but I'm like imagining, you know. Mm-hmm. And I feel like at the beginning we were very like, I mean, it's just very raw and teenager, you know, but that's part of the charm of like our first album, I think, and like the first recording. I mean, we were just, I don't know, just writing how we felt and then playing music that echoed that feeling. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we've carried through to now. Mm-hmm. Just sort of writing from the heart. It's hard to mess up when you do that, I think. Like, there's no wrong way to write your true feelings, you know?
Absolutely. And I feel like that's one of the things that I got really excited about with your music, was it just felt like it was very raw and very honest from start to finish with all the songs that I listened to.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like if like the lyrics of everything, it's just so, it's like so vulnerable. Sometimes I forget, and I'm like, we put out Fences and I was like, oh my God, like people know those lyrics. Like, oh, but it's also like, something else that I think helps with our sound is that we write music that like we would want to listen to, or like mm-hmm. do want to listen to, trying to kind of like fill in the gap. Like, you know, like I write music about trauma or about boys that make me mad because that's what I want to listen to when mm-hmm. that, like, those are my feelings. Those are my moods. Mm-hmm. Sorry, my hair's a little, oh gosh, it's a little silly looking. it's a podcast. Like, why am I worried about my hair right now?
I do the same thing.
yeah, but it's nice to, like, I mean, Vi really wanted to write stuff with, like, you know, like, gainy guitar. And so that's a lot of what, you know, we had one guitar, and so that's what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. And then just continuing, I don't know, that's kind of been a thing. We are always trying to push ourselves to like not sound like other people. We really mm-hmm. like to if we write a riff or something that sounds like another band, we'll be honest with each other and be like, this sounds like Red Hot Chili Peppers or something. And then I'll be like, I've never listened to them, so it's fine. but yeah, I feel like now we're more at a place where it's like, we're still keeping that like heart, but now we're pushing ourselves to make the music more dynamic, which is, I think, definitely something that you can hear in our last two singles. You'll be able to hear that in like whenever we release new stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's amazing. It's
an evolving process.
Absolutely. Well, you figure it's like in that time period, you've grown up. Mm-hmm. Since you started the band and first started releasing music too. So,
yeah.
And you get better as musicians, the more that you play and the more that you write.
Yeah. Part of me feels like it's getting more serious now. Mm. Like the music that we write, but you know, we haven't written everything yet. So I think that there's still a lot of things that are going to be like, I say that, but then I can think of two songs. One of them is like a sexy like dance song that we wrote recently. And then the other one, I'm probably going to write it about, I want to write about like cops and how they're fucked up.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But that will still be like a fun song, like, you know, making fun of them. So yeah. Like, it'll be a little, you know, a little bit of both. But it's a lot more like thought out mm-hmm. now.
That's interesting that, like, you know, those are the kind of things that you want to write about, and that's like going to be some of your focus, which is important because I think everybody's got a perspective on this shit and what everybody's yeah. going through, and it can be something that maybe is more fun and positive, like sex, but everybody's got a different perspective on what that is and what that means for them. And yeah. The same goes with like shitty police. Everybody's got their own experience with that too. And I think it's so important to be able to discuss like such a variety of things and with your own perspective, it makes it just that much more important, you know?
I really like, I feel like as a band, we try really hard to make sure that all of our songs sound different from each other. That's like, we'll occasionally have something that sounds a little similar. Like I feel like Methotonin and Ducky Duck World like might be kind of the same, but they're not, they're very different, but they're both just like fast songs. But overall, like as a band, we really like to do stuff that sounds different because that's what we like to play. Like I would not like to play the same song for 45 minutes.
Right.
That sounds so boring.
A lot of bands do that.
I know. I don't know how, you know, props to them, but it's not for me.
Right.
And like in that also is that I like to sing about different things and not write about the same thing over and over. Even though like we have some common themes in our music, like I'm really, with whatever we put out next, I'm really pushing myself to write more like politically and like overtly political. Cause I feel like most of what we write is pretty feminist oriented, or like there's Vixen, which is just like a gay song, but that, you know, it's, I don't know. It wasn't like meant to be a political song. It just kind of is because people are homophobic, I guess. Whatever. but now, like, as we go on, I'm trying to be more purposeful with writing. I'm just trying to write more political songs, like, that are very much like that, because I think that we need it.
Yeah, we do. Like, as people who consume music, and also, like, it's great knowing that, like, you want to use your platform that much more, because it's like you've built up an audience in this time and stuff, and there's people who listen to you, and sometimes people need that extra perspective in their ears. And like, there's something about a good like pop hook or a good riff that'll make that shit just sink in a little bit deeper, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, I haven't found too much music that is about the things that I want to listen to. You know what I mean? Like I wrote Fences because I had like a really bad relationship, and like just relationships in general that just felt like I, you know, it's like the song, you know, just repeating and repeating, same shit over and over again. And I just hadn't heard a song like that, personally. And so my kind of idea is like, well, I don't know a song that sounds like this, so I guess I have to write it. And that's sort of like what we've done for a lot of our music, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that's filling the void. Crucial. Yeah. Well, that void is just like, I feel like sometimes it feels difficult to surmount when you are like looking for music that's made by people that look like you, and also telling perspectives that are at least closely aligned or similar to your own and stuff. That's why it's like, to me, so important to be able to access it, the artists who are making this stuff, because it's like, you know, there is somebody out there looking for that story about those relationships that feel like they just repeat, and like, you know, the different traumas that you go through as a result of that and everything. So it's like, you know, somebody out there needs that, and they need it told through your lens, you know?
Like there's so, I mean, gosh, there's so many things that I like want to write about, like just like, you know, like shame or guilt is something that I would like to explore more. I want to write happy songs because I feel like I want to write something happy because I haven't yet. It's so hard. It's so hard to write something like that's happy.
Yeah.
And like for me anyways. But yeah, I definitely try and listen to more bands that are like women or queer people, just because I relate to the content of their songs more. I relate to how they feel about it. Like Mannequin Pussy, I will never stop talking about them.
Such a great band.
Oh, so good. They're like one of my favorites. And I think that I just like love their music so much because they also write about like a lot of different things. And have a lot of different sounding songs, but also just like the perspective that it comes from is from like a queer and like female perspective, you know? like, which I love and I need as one of those people.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And there's something empowering in like having your experiences validated. And like, I think that's why I know I get attached to music, is because it's like, wow, I feel like my experience has been validated by somebody who's just like, you know, making something that is meaningful to them, that's meaningful to me, and also just sounds fucking great.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Like something I really like when I'm writing songs, like I keep talking about Fences, and but it was like a very important song for me to write.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, writing that song, like I wish that I had had that song years ago. Mm-hmm. I wish that I had had that song like last year, or I don't know, maybe it came out last year. I don't know. No, it didn't. I don't think it, anyways.
I think it was like the beginning of this year.
But our music, like I wish that I had had that growing mm-hmm. up. I wish, and I'm only 20, but I wish that I had had that when I was 15 mm-hmm. already. I wish that I hadn't had to write it. Absolutely. Because it would have helped me so much to know that I wasn't alone in the things that I was going through. Yeah. Same can be said for like our newer single too.
Yeah, it's important. And like, I think that all the time about different songs that I've stumbled on as an adult, and even just different bands. Like, to me, that's just, I'm like, I'm grateful for it now. But of course, it's like, damn, that would have helped a very confused 15-year-old me, or like a very like pissed off, even 20-year-old me, you know, like,
yeah, definitely.
But it's crucial. And I don't know, the songs exist now, and mm-hmm. they're going to help some other 15-year-old out there, you know?
Yeah. I know that they do. It you know, it fills me with happiness and love and hope.
That's good.
Yeah.
I love it. So walk me through a bit of your songwriting process, because it sounds like you have a lot of really awesome ideas, and I'm curious about how sometimes those take shape.
Yeah. So it varies, you know, song to song. But most of the time I start off with like an idea. Sometimes I'll just like think of a lyric. It's usually like something I'm not happy about is happening, or I'm sort of upset, and so I want to work through my feelings. And so it's like a way I write songs to like process a lot of the time, which is probably why like our writing, our songs are so raw. Mm-hmm. And like vulnerable like that. For me personally, like it's definitely just like, this shit happened to me, and like now I need to write it down somewhere. So I usually start off with like a guitar riff or some chords or lyrics. Like I'll either have the lyrics and then I try and find guitar to match with it, like match my feelings about whatever's happening, or I write guitar, that's my feelings, and then I try and play over and over and over again until I can find lyrics for it. Mm-hmm. And then usually like some songs just come together, mm-hmm. You know, like sort of naturally, but then there are other songs that take months and months to write. Like when we were writing Fences, that part that's like the chorus, I guess, I don't consider it the chorus, but I think other people consider it the chorus. So I'm like, well, okay. But the part that's like, you took the sunshine from the days, that was written. We went into the studio for that song, and I like recorded the vocals and the melody that I had at the time, which was like completely different from how it is now. I did not like when I re-recorded it. I was like, oh my God, like I could do so much better than this. And so this is months after the song I thought was finished. You know? Yeah. But then I heard it recorded and I was like, I can't do that. And so I can't like have that be the final product. So like I went home, sat with my acoustic guitar, and then just completely changed the melody, added a whole other like set of lyrics. Like, and so that was probably over the span of, that song probably didn't finish until for like 6 months or like 7 months around there. Like it took a long time to do. But if, you know, I'm glad. So they're kind of constantly being edited up until we record it. And even after we record it, mm-hmm. we'll change them, add new things. It's a very like fluid and even sporadic kind of process.
That makes sense. Cause like, you know, you'll listen back on things kind of like I mentioned actually with how you practiced singing growing up and everything, where it's like, you'll find things that like make it better or like make it yeah. to where you're just like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, definitely. And then now like I have, you know, like there's a song that I wrote, I don't even know, probably also 6 months ago, honestly. Song that I wrote 6 months ago. And then I just like, I brought it back this week and added some stuff to it, like about quarantine. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to, cause I felt like it, cause I thought that it fit together. So it's super like Frankenstein-y is honestly what the process is. It's very like, and then the way that Vi and I collaborate on stuff is like all like, it used to be more that like Vi, you know, we would each like write a whole song or something, or like I would write lyrics and Vi would write guitar for it. But something really cool happened recently, which is like Vi sent me these lyrics and I edited it and I like added to it and stuff. Like I usually edit the lyrics like that anyone writes because I have to sing them. So mm-hmm. I've got to figure out how I'm going to do that. But like I also wrote guitar to it, which was super cool for me. To write guitar to like my guitarist's words, you know? Whoa, it's so cool. and like when Narsé writes a song, if he writes a song, like the same thing will probably happen. It's really fun. I waste a lot of time and energy, but it's super worth it.
I love that. It's great that you're able to kind of collaborate in that way too.
For Make Room, it was basically like Vi and I wrote what we call the bones of the song, which are the guitar and the lyrics and the melody. And then we had Chris and Enzo Malaspina do like bass and drums and like also add other ideas to it. But now that we have like our drummer, we can write the song like together. And so what we'll do is like one of us will sort of bring in an idea. And then we'll just like jam on that until we each like find something that sticks. Mm-hmm. And so it's cool, like seeing the drums influence the music mm-hmm. in a way that like it just didn't happen before, cause we didn't have like a stable drummer. Mm-hmm. But now like, it's, you know, you can like see the full picture of a song more when you have all the instruments to it. Yeah. And it's been super cool. And like, he'll have ideas, like we'll all kind of like throw ideas at each other. Or, you know, like give constructive criticism or just like hype each other up. Yeah, it's very fun. Like even we were writing this like sexy dance song and I asked them, I was like, give each of you like give me a sexy word. You know? And then like both of those words like became the chorus. Mm-hmm. Became like parts of the chorus. So that was really fun, like because I wasn't writing, I couldn't think of anything off the top of my head, and so I was like, you two, I need a word, and then they gave it to me and then I could like build off that.
I love that. That like yeah. lyric riffing together has got to be so much fun too.
It is so tight.
I love that.
Right together.
Mm-hmm. That's so neat. So I kind of want to dig into some of the singles that you have a little bit deeper here. Mm-hmm. The newest one you have out right now is Honey, I'm Home, which is mm-hmm. amazing. I love
Thank
it.
You. Thank you.
And I love that so much of like the lyrical content of this feels like you're just kind of smashing through this feeling of being trapped. Yeah. And like, I mean, I'm sure the timing is impeccable. I know that wasn't the subject matter that you were going for, but the whole like locking the doors and feeling like you have to kind of like look through these like bars on your window and stuff was just yeah. like something that so many people can relate to right now. Mm-hmm. But also the idea of just like reclaiming yourself in that space, it felt like was kind of a huge theme of it too. The whole like, I'm not your home anymore, I'll throw a brick through your window was like fucking yeah. legit.
Yeah.
Can you yeah. talk more about that song and like how that one came together?
Yeah. So like Vi wrote the bulk of that song lyric wise. I added little things. I added the brick through your window because we needed a bridge and I was like, I'll write it, I guess. But yeah, it's like, it's about being trapped in like relationships, you know, which, like, I'm not going to speak on like Vi's experience, but I can speak about mine and like the way that, I kind of relate to this. But like, yeah, it's really about just feeling trapped in a relationship that you can't get out of, mm-hmm. that you can't, like, it just, like, fucking sucks. like, anyone who's been in a relationship like that, like, they know what I'm talking about. You know? Yeah, it's kind of, like, astounding how similar it is to how, like, on point it is with quarantine.
It's, like, yeah.
But it's, like, really funny, too. But... yeah, it's, I mean, writing the song was really fun because the lyrics are very like melancholy and like sad, but I wanted to sing it, but it's very, it's still kind of like a happy poppy song. And so mm-hmm. I wanted to like, play with the sort of irony with that, with like the melody being so like, you know, I open bars, you know, on my window, like little songbird kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that that's like how this sort of relationship happens, basically, where it's like you have all this shit on the inside, but on the outside it kind of seems okay most of the time.
Yeah.
Or like you can convince yourself that it's fine because you don't know, like you can't, you're not like registering the actual like the detrimental things that it is doing to you. Mm-hmm. Because it seems so nice, like you're thinking about the positive aspects of the relationship and ignoring the actual bones of it, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I don't know, quarantine. I hate being stuck at home.
Yeah. I like that the way that that song can feel like you can, it feels very universal in that sense of like, not just the whole quarantine aspect of it, but also like the whole, you can apply this to, I feel like, so many different types of relationships.
Yeah.
It could be like a romantic one. It could be one that you can experience with your family.
Yeah,
I think in definitely. Some ways, you could even look at it somewhat politically too, because a lot of people kind of feel trapped mm-hmm. within whatever box that society has put them in, or whatever detrimental situations that they are put in because of like what we are forced to live by and live within.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I love that that song is very dimensional in that way, that you can kind mm-hmm. of like look at it through whatever lens you kind of need.
Yeah. And the sort of point of like that other part, like I'll throw the break through your window, is that like recently with lyric writing, or kind of in general, it's like I like to have closure and to have some sort of like you know, fuck this situation sort mm-hmm. of feeling. And so like in Fences, that happens with like the changing lyrics at the end of the chorus, and like in Honey I'm Home it comes with the like, I'll throw a brick through your window, like I'm not your home anymore, like get out of my life, like I don't need this, you know. So that's also really cool to know that like these things like do have an end, like things can change. And so I think with quarantine it's important to remember that like things aren't always like this, like they're gonna change politically, hopefully, like they will change, like things haven't stayed stagnant the entire time, like people protest, they riot and like get shit done,
right?
And like it's important to remember that, you know, that like this isn't how it's always been, even, you know, relationships and stuff, like it doesn't have to be like that. If it is all that you've known for your whole life, like if you have been trapped for so long, like there is another place for you to go, you can leave. Mm-hmm. You can undo those fucking bars on your window and get the hell out of there someday, you know?
Right. And you have the ability to kind of take back your autonomy in the way of like literally the throwing the brick through the window. Mm-hmm. That in that way, to me, that's like your take back the power moment. Like, this is it. And that to me is very inspiring, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like take control of whatever situation you're in. And that's really mm-hmm. fucking cool. So. Yeah.
And it's like, it has all this like, this, you know, like metaphorical stuff to it, but it's also so like, fuck you, I want to throw a brick through your window because I hate you. Like,
it can be literal when, like, it's needed.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I, you know, like you are the worst. Like, you know, I get so mad at Vi's exes.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's, you know, I was like, if I could do something, this is what I would do to this guy.
dudes that I dated.
I know yeah. what you mean. Sometimes it's just, they're just that shitty. Wish you could.
Yeah. I think like some of like the best part about songwriting for me is like having something like so terrible happen like for months or whatever, and then being able to come out with something like beautiful that you love, you know, like a piece of art that you can look at and like cherish and like recognize like this is from that time, but like I'm now away from that and I was also able to like make something so beautiful and like and helpful to other people mm-hmm. at the same time. I like to write songs about bad stuff because then it kind of feels like that didn't go to waste. It's like, okay, so I didn't just suffer for no reason. Wow, I can sing a cute song. But seriously, like, it feels really good to take back like the things that happened and like tell your own story mm-hmm. and like really show people like what happened from your lens, like from your view. Mm-hmm. It's also a good way to like write stuff down and then like forget about it, you know, and just be like done with that. Closure.
That's the way we get it, huh?
yeah writing songs because they don't give it to us. Woo.
No.
oh well what can you do?
For sure. If anything, I know we've talked about Fences a fair bit, which is awesome. I freaking love that song, but I want to talk about it a little bit more because of, just the way that I feel like this song has this great way of kind of looking back at relationships, comparing, and kind of like even giving the opportunity to just like realize the patterns and heal.
Yeah.
Was that something that you really wanted to go for with this one?
Yeah. Or I feel like that's something that has become more true, like, since I've written the song. Because at the time, I was honestly, like, I didn't know my fucking patterns. I didn't know shit. I didn't know what I was doing. I just felt terrible. Like, that's why I wrote it. Because it did feel like everything that I knew. This is where, like, when, you know, 6 months later when we recorded the song, I then changed the lyrics so that, because I felt differently when I wrote, after the fact, yeah. So it is cool where it's like there are a lot of different parts of the song that are like, thank you for asking questions about the song. I love talking about it. It's like there's so many things with it that I'm like, yeah, I'm so stoked. I love that song. But like the verses and the like, I want to scream, cut you up like you did me. Is this all I've ever known? Those I wrote, you know, like, initially. Those were the first things that I wrote of the song. Mm-hmm. And then I later on added, like, I'm going to forgive you so I can breathe. And, like, you took the sunshine from the days. Like, that whole thing. Like, because I didn't even think about that until mm-hmm. later. Like, at the time, I didn't want to forgive this person. I didn't want to. I was pissed. But then later on I was like, well, I need to let it go for me and not for you. And so, yeah, I forgot what the question was, but no,
you answered it.
okay, cool. Yeah, I definitely wrote it to like process my feelings, and, the evolution really shows like my evolution with that situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ugh, you can really feel like you just do the same shit over and over again. And I'm actually in the process of seeing those patterns, like, really, and like really getting down to it. Mm-hmm. And trying to stop doing those things because I don't like it. And it like isn't good for me. So yeah, it's a trip, it's a journey.
Definitely. Well, it's so great that you're able to kind of explore that through your music. And I feel like that's another one where I feel like the sound plays really nicely with the subject matter that you're covering too.
Yeah. 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 Like that song, like the guitar is very closely linked with the lyrics because it's like a dark song. Mm-hmm. It's like a dark and like brooding kind of thing, because that's like what the mood of it is. Mm-hmm. Whereas like sometimes we like to play with it because it, you know, like with Honey, I'm Home, I kind of said this already, but like, you know, seeing like feeling like it's okay on the surface, but then underneath when you look at the lyrics, you know that it's terrible. But then Fences, it's kind of just like the blatant, just like in your face, like this is awful kind of situation. Like,
right.
Don't want to be here, you know, don't want it like to be in this pattern over and over again.
Right. You kind of want to look at it closer in that sense and like kind of chew on it differently than you would have for the other song.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. Well, you've got two really awesome new singles out this year between like Fences and Honey, I'm Home, which is amazing.
Thank you.
What's something you really want your listeners to get out of these songs or just your music that's coming out?
I just really want people to know that they're like not alone in how they're feeling. Like if you relate to this song, like if you relate to either of the songs, just know that like we have seen similar things to you. That we, you know, if you listen to it and you relate to the lyrics, like, or just the mood of the song, we have felt the same things as you have. But it's like, I want people to know that, like, they're not alone in how they're feeling. And also that it doesn't continue forever. Mm-hmm. That things do end, that you do have control over the patterns that you don't like in your life. Like, if you keep doing something over and over that you... if you like keep dating the same kind of the people, if you keep being friends with the same kind of people and it doesn't make you happy, if it like, you know, is bad for your mental health or physical health, like you do have power to change it. Like you will be able to, like, even if you can't escape it in the moment, like you have control over like you can make something out of it, you know? And I don't know. I just want people to know that like, it doesn't, like, the shit that they're going through doesn't have to be forever. Mm-hmm. That you can overcome anything that you want to eventually. That's, it might take a long time, but you can do it. And also, like, oh, it's cutting off.
You're good. It got it. You're good.
Okay, sick. I also wanted to say that, like, to tell people that it doesn't, that, you know, bad things do keep happening in life, and that's okay. And that I feel like we're in a constant state of like learning and making mistakes and growing, and that that's a totally normal thing. It's something that I like have a hard time remembering, so I should really be taking my own advice, huh? But yeah, just that they're not alone, that things won't be like this forever, and that you have like power to change your circumstances, you know?
I love that.
Yeah.
That's crucial. Well, yeah. I hope that everybody who's listening finds that, because I know I have, and that's so special.
And I want to just add a caveat of like, I understand like if you're I don't mean that like if you're like with an abusive family member that you could just like up and leave, because I know that it's not that easy for people to do. That it's not like that easy. That it's not that easy, you know, but
right.
you can, that's not what I mean. Like there are nuances and like complexities to these kinds of things, but know that like, it doesn't have to be forever, that sometimes you do have control over things. You also have control over, like, you can listen to stuff that empowers you. You can read stuff like that empowers you. Mm-hmm. And that, I don't know. I just want people to take care of themselves and and be okay as much as they can do in their situation, you know?
Absolutely. I think your music definitely will help with that.
I hope so.
Yeah. So what's something that you want people to know about Destroy Boys that maybe they may not know?
Ooh, good question. These are all excellent questions. You're very good at this. Thank you for letting me like talk.
I love it.
What they don't know about Destroy Boys. Destroy Boys says ACAB. let me think. We all like to cook. More so Vi, and Vi is more the chef, but like we all really like food. I've grown to like food a lot more. That's like super silly, but
That's cute though. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. But also that, like, man, something that people don't know. I don't know. Maybe not something, this isn't necessarily something that, that like people might not know about us, but, but it's our best. But, I don't know, ACAB, and that we liked food. That's, I'm just going to leave it at that. I can't think of anything else.
That's so good though.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know 2020 is kind of like a wash of a year, but what are some things that you're working on and what are some of your goals maybe as a band?
So we're working on new music. We're working to push ourselves and to make new stuff as, and just like push our boundaries, both like musically, lyrically, production wise, as everything. We're working on new merch. Hopefully we'll get some cool like music videos and stuff eventually. But yeah, we're working on new stuff. And that is very exciting and fun. And it's going to sound like very different. It sounds like different from what we've done, but I also feel like we've never really stuck to one sound completely, you know?
Right. Well, I'm very excited for everything that you kind of have in the pipeline coming our way. That'll be exciting. So I always like to round out interviews with this last question. If you could play a show with any three musicians or bands, they can be currently active or you can bring them back from the dead, who would it be?
Oh my God. Okay. Nirvana, Sleater-Kinney.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I love Sleater-Kinney so much. I played with Mannequin Pussy already, so check that off the list. But let's see. I'm trying to think of like a big one. Probably Vampire Weekend, just cause like that would fulfill like a lifelong dream of mine.
Oh man, I love that. Yeah.
So Nirvana, Sleater-Kinney, Vampire Weekend, and Destroy Boys and Mannequin Pussy, come see us.
I love it. I like that you mentioned like, so three of those are definitely like a possibility at some point in your career, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
So I mean, Mannequin Pussy's already been done, but like. Yeah. But Sleater-Kinney and Vampire Weekend, totally possible. Yeah. So
Sleater-Kinney, like, I feel like we could actually do that. Vampire Weekend, like, it would need to be like a festival or something, but also like doable.
It could happen. It could happen.
Yeah.
I'm sending all the vibes in the universe if this happens for you, because I'm always cheerleading and then so stoked when I eventually see some of the people that I've talked to on this podcast, like, booked on something or where they're playing with a band that they mentioned or something. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like, fuck yes, you did it.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to the day where I see you on those lineups. That's for sure. Oh,
thank you. I appreciate it.
In the meantime, where can everybody keep up with you on the internet for Destroy Boys?
So y'all can find our music on Spotify, on Apple Music, on YouTube. We have some music videos out and our music is on there too. We all have Instagram at Destroy Boys Band. Mine is at Alexia Roditis. What's up? And like Twitter, we have Twitter too, at Destroy Boys Band. Vi's been doing a lot of Twitch live streams, which is super fun. I do Instagram live on occasion. Yeah. This is the internet. Just Google Destroy Boys and we will be there somewhere.
Oh my gosh. I love it. Everybody, please give Destroy Boys a follow. Thank you so much, Alexia, for joining. This has been amazing.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Amanda. This is so cool. This is like such a sick podcast. I was looking through it earlier and like, there's so many bands that I haven't heard of that I'm totally going to go listen to. and I'm very excited. And thank you so much for having me.
Listen, we are the walking dead. Everyone parties and worries about getting
Alexia for joining and sharing her band's tight music and voice. Be sure to stay tuned for new music by following Destroy Boys on social media and grab their singles and EPs. They are incredible. That's it for this week, but you can always keep up with Angry Girl Music of the Indie Rock Persuasion online. Find episodes, links, articles, and more at angrygirlmusic.com. Get in touch with me through email at angrygirlmusic@gmail.com or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at angrygirlmusic. If you're interested in being a guest on the pod, reach out and let's chat about what you're working on. Pledge your support for Angry Girl Music of the Indie Rock Persuasion on Patreon at patreon.com/angrygirlmusic. Special thanks to our monthly patrons Molly O'Malley, Kendra Mamula, Carly Commando, John Kitsy Kitzmiller, and Sam Zarowitz. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, stay angry and keep talking and writing from the heart. Bye for now. I want to hear you say it. You don't want to need-